Hello everyone, welcome to the Pericaleo Podcast. I'm your host, Ashton Wright. I want you to know that I am so thankful that you are with us today. I hope this episode encourages, comforts, and empowers you to live your life for the glory of God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to be at Genesis chapter 12. We're going to be looking not at the entire chapter necessarily, but we're going to be looking in verses 1 through 4 and then also verses 10 through 20. And the title today is Faith Over Fear. And probably something you have heard that we want to live by faith, not fear. You've probably heard that a lot in the past couple years. But to find out that living in faith instead of fear is nothing new. And that today we're going to look at the life of Abram and Genesis chapter 12. And we have a perfect picture of living a life of faith over fear. And also whenever the fear of man overcomes the faith that we have in the Lord and the issues that it brings with that. So look with me in verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." Now, I just want you to see how many times the Lord says, "I will do this. I will show you. I will do this. I will do this." And the Lord says in verse 2, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." What a promise from the Lord. He's going to make him a great nation. He's going to make his name great. He's going to bless him, make him into a great nation. Show him a land that he has no idea about. And the Lord says, "I covenant with you. I will make this happen." And listen to what Abram. "So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him." And Lot was Abraham's family. And the Bible says, "Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." And it goes on to say that Abram essentially took his family, his wife, and the rest of his family and their possessions and all that they had, and then they began to leave to the land of Canaan. And we see here, the first point is we see that faith in God produces obedience. Faith in God produces obedience. That faith and obedience work hand in hand. They're not opposites. When we have faith, we respond in obedience. Now, of course, faith is a gift from God. Faith is not something that we muster up on our own. That we know that faith is a gift from God. To trust God, to believe God, to love God, to trust Him in the midst of difficult circumstances, in the midst of all the unknowns, when all the details are not really lined out for us, that faith is trusting the Lord. And what is the evidence of faith? It's obedience. That if we truly believe what God has said, what God has promised, if we truly trust God, we respond in faith, and we respond in obedience. But look what the trap that we often fall into and that Abram fell into. Look at verse 10. "Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, 'I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake.' When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, 'What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister,' so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had." Here you see, in the first part of this chapter, we see that faith in God produces obedience. God changes Abram's name to Abraham later on. But Abram initially has faith, and that faith leads to obedience. He takes up all the things that he owns. He takes his family. He takes everything, and he leaves it all, the comfort and security of the land that he was in. And he leads it all because he trusts God. He has faith, and his faith leads and produces obedience. It leads to and it produces obedience. But then in verses 10 through 20, we see what the fear of man produces. Abram, terrified that Pharaoh is going to kill him. So what does he do? In Abram's defense, he says that she's my sister. And technically, Sarai was Abram's half-sister. But we know that a half-truth is a whole lie, that there's no such thing as a half-truth. You're either telling the truth or you're lying. You're either being deceitful or you're being honest. And so because of his fear of Pharaoh and his fear of man, we see that Abram falls into lying and deceit. And because of his sin, it brings judgment on others. He sins against God, and it brings judgment on Pharaoh. It brings judgment on others. And so my point here is that the fear of man produces disobedience. It's the fact that when we fear man instead of having faith in God, we walk in disobedience. Because what did God promise Abram? What did God promise Abram? He said, "Your name will be made great. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will take care of you. I will provide for you. Whoever dishonors you, I will curse them." And he says, "Whoever blesses you, I'll bless them. Whoever curses you, I'll curse them." The Lord literally promises to provide for Abram, not just physically, but relationally. He says, "If other people come against you, you know this, I will be your provider. I will be your protector. Abram, you can trust me, the Lord. I will do these things according to my great name." And Abram falls into this trap that you and I fall into as well as Christians and even non-believers, but most certainly Christians, that we fear man. And this isn't a respect or a reverence. This is a fear of the fact that we cower in what man can do to us. But we have to understand that every time that we fear man instead of having faith in God, it produces disobedience. When God has promised something, when God's word is clear on something, to stand firm, this is the truth, walk in the truth, do this, and we say, "God, I don't trust you. I'm fearful, I'm anxious, I'm worried. Instead, I'm going to submit to the fear of man and disobedience." And so I want you to think about this statement. Obedience should not be determined by our circumstances. Whether we have faith and obey God should not be determined by our circumstances. Now, we fall short of that, don't we? I mean, if we're being honest, this is a daily fight for us. Because there's pressures in our life. There are pressures in our life to force us to fear man rather than fearing God. I mean, this is what takes place in Acts, the book of Acts, when the culture in that time was trying to stop the disciples from preaching the gospel of Jesus. And they say, "You tell us who we should fear. Should we fear you or should we fear God?" This is no difference. The decision to have faith, to obey God, or to be fearful and disobey God is a battle we face every day. But the statement is true, though. Obedience should not be determined by our circumstances. Even if we feel the full forces of our culture waging war against us, that should not determine our faithful obedience to the Lord. So practically, what does that look like in our life? Because you and I, you know, we're not Abram and we're not, you know, sojourning to a land, and we're not in maybe that exact circumstance. But what does it look like practically for us? What are the pressures that we face to have fear of man rather than faith in God? Well, the first one is pressure of people, or you could say pressure from people. We have pressure, especially in parts of leadership. We have pressure from people to do things that they want us to do rather than what we know God has called us to do. I know in my own life in ministry, I believe God is leading a certain way, but there's pressure from people, criticisms, comments, doubting, this, that, and the other, that causes us to feel pressure from people. Rather than doing what we believe God's called us to do, God has verified that through His Word. God, we have prayed, we have sought the Lord, we've sought wise counsel. We know this is what God's calling me to do. But the moment we face backlash or we face pushback from people, we are pressured to do what they want us to do. We feel pressure from people in our families. Our families try to pressure us to dishonor God, maybe, or our spouse, or you know, friends that we have. We feel pressure from people to fear man, to fear their comments, their ideas, their thoughts, rather than fearing and rather than having faith in God. What about the pressure of performance? Right? The pressure of performance. That we become anxious, we become depressed, we become fearful because of our performance. We feel like, oh, God couldn't have called me to this because I'm not succeeding. I don't belong here because of the pressure of performance that I feel. I must not belong here. We feel like, oh, God couldn't have called me to this or asked me to do this because, you know, I'm not performing well right now. When really we should recognize that in all things, God uses everything to strengthen our faith. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? That it is impossible to please God apart from faith. That we do things, we operate in the Christian life by faith. So the pressure you're feeling about your performance really might be a test of faith. That you would be humble enough to seek help from others, humble enough to trust the Lord to grow you, humble enough to work harder. But the pressure of performance almost causes us to doubt the call of God on our life. It causes us to doubt the call of God and instead says, now I need to, you know, wring my hands. I need to be anxious and worrisome and fear that I'm not good enough, or God hasn't called me to this. God hasn't gifted me to do this. And so we feel pressure to perform, which leads to anxiety, fear, worry, doubt, insecurities, and pride, basically, in our life. And thirdly, the pressure of popularity. We face the pressure of popularity, that God may have called us to do something and we are going to be the minority. Something we have to recognize is if people that stand for truth are going to be the minority. You know, I believe it's Adrian Rogers that says, right is right no matter, or it wrong is wrong no matter how many people do it. Right is right no matter who doesn't do it. And essentially he's saying, regardless of how many people are doing wrong, it's still wrong. Regardless of if there's no one doing what's right, it's still right. Having faith and trusting the Lord in His Word is what we're called to do no matter if it's popular or not. Jesus even tells us this. Jesus tells us, he says, if they hate me, don't be surprised that they hate you too. For a servant is no greater than its master. Or a disciple is no greater than its master, its teacher. Jesus tells us, they don't hate you, they hate me. The Bible tells us that the world hates the light because it exposes their sin, that they hate truth. They don't want to hear truth. They just want to hear falsehood and wickedness. And so we have to recognize that there's going to be pressure to be popular. No one, I don't think anyone says, you know what, I don't want to have friends. I don't want to fit in. I don't think anyone, not one person says that. Why? Because we're created for relationship. And that's the strain that we feel. We want to fit in. We want to connect. We want to be popular. We want to have a lot of friends. But the Bible tells us very clearly, very plainly, that you cannot be a friend of the world and be a friend of God. That when it comes down to it, that doesn't mean you shouldn't have friendships. You should have godly friendships. You should be friends with Christians. You should be influencing others with the gospel. So I'm not telling you not to do that. What I am telling you is that you need to be aware of the fact, just like I need to be aware of the fact, that we feel pressured to be popular. That we feel pressure to fit in, to be the coolest person, and for people to adore us and to love us. But we need to recognize if they hated our Savior, they will hate us too. When you have faith in God, you obey God, you say, I'm going to obey God rather than obeying man. When the world says all these things, these sinful things are right, and you say, no, they're not. This is what the Bible teaches, and this is what the truth is. You will be hated. So Christians, listen to me. Beloved Christians, listen to me. You will feel the pressure of people. You will feel the pressure of performance. You will feel the pressure of popularity. You will feel these pressures, and it will lead you to a crossroad where you say, I can either trust the Lord, have faith in God, put my faith in the Lord, and walk in obedience, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what I feel, or you can say, I'm going to allow fear to take root in my life. I'm going to fear man. I'm going to fear people. I'm going to fear the pressure to perform. I'm going to fear popularity. I'm going to fear mankind. And when we do that, it produces disobedience. We live a lifestyle of disobedience when that takes root in our life. So I plead with you and I encourage you today. Maybe you're walking in disobedience. Here's the thing. The Bible teaches us that if we confess our sin, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. And that's a book written to Christians, to believers. Because listen, we all, just like Abram, we all fall into the sin of having weak faith. Think about all the times Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." Think of the disciples. All the times they lacked faith, the apostles, the times that they lacked faith. The point is that faith is a gift from God, but it's something that we pursue. We pray, God, strengthen my faith. Lord, strengthen my faith. Test my faith. Lord, help me to grow in faith. Because when we are seeking to have stronger faith, when we seek to obey and trust God, we will walk in obedience. And so I encourage you today. It's not too late. My pastor says this all the time, Pastor Blake Gideon. He says, it's never too late to start doing what's right. That is so true. It's never too late to do what's right. And so maybe right now God's convicting you of areas in your life where you say, man, I fear men. I fear the culture. I fear people. And I need to turn from that. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. If we pursue God in repentance and faith, the Bible teaches us that He will forgive us. He wants us to have strong faith. He wants us to have relationship and to walk in right relationship with Him and to walk in fellowship with Him. He wants that. So, Christians, I plead with you to seek God today. Trust the Lord, because it's all about having faith over fear. Faith leads to obedience. It produces obedience. So today, I encourage you, I exhort you, and I comfort you with this, that God loves you. He's called you unto salvation. He's given you the gift of grace. He's given you a gift of faith. Even your repentance is a gift from God. He wants relationship with you. He wants fellowship with you. He loves you. And the Bible says Jesus is your advocate. And so today, turn from your lack of faith. Ask God to strengthen your faith. And beloved, walk in faith. And I promise you, you will produce obedience in your life. Thank you for listening today. If this episode exhorted, comforted, or encouraged you, please share it with others. I can't wait to be with you again soon. Be blessed, my friends.